you may be seated. So glad to be here with you, with my brother from another mother. You can see the striking resemblance in the skin tone, and it's powerful. And I am so honored to be here with my dear friends. I love the Burnetts so much. Your pastor is amazing. I think that he deserves a round of applause. I want to give it up for Pastor Stephanie for all that she did this week with Flourish Conference. Amazing. We've been developing such a great, great friendship, and I am so honored to be around you. To all of the volunteers that are serving at all of our locations, thank you for what you do. The Dream Team, you guys are amazing. Give it up for the Dream Team at our locations today. So how many of y'all are proud to be from Clarksville? How many of y'all are proud to go to this church? How many of y'all are proud of our military? How many of you guys are proud of the Preds? How many of you guys are proud of the Titans? Why? You haven't won a Super Bowl since like 1921. And your jerseys are horrible. Anyways, all right. I don't like the preacher. He's got to go. So here's the last one. How many of us in this room joining us in our other location have pride? Oh, we were... Interesting. We screamed for a lot, but got really quiet when it came to a very powerful question on whether or not you and I have pride. What I think is fascinating is that there are two kinds of pride. There's good pride and there's bad pride. Pride in yourself, pride in your town, pride in your teams. And then there is a bad pride that has something to do with the deadly sin of superiority and arrogance that sometimes comes into our lives. At one point or another in our lives, we are going to struggle with a form of pride. It comes in a variety of ways. It's not always verbal. This is why the Bible talks about a proud look. And some of us at times know that proud look when we feel it, somebody looking down their nose at us, don't you? Or have you ever met that person that feels like they have to announce their achievements to everybody else? They got to tell you where they went on the weekend and what they ate and who they know. Is there anybody here that can ever met a person that is the biggest name dropper you ever met in your entire life? They're just constantly dropping names to let you know that you know nobody. We can often think that we're somehow responsible for the blessings that occur in our lives. Look at what my hard work has done. Look at how much time I put into this, and now look what I've got. It shows up when we're consumed by what others think of us. That's a form of pride. It's a form of pride when we can easily pinpoint everybody else's flaws. It is a form of pride when you desire only to have the right car or the right house or the right logos on your purse or the right logos on your shoes so that other people can affirm you for things that are on the exterior instead of the quality of what is in your interior. Are you hearing me today? Pride, it rears its head in our decision making, in our Facebook and Instagram posts. Lord, it got quiet then. The truth is, pride is killing us. And if you don't feel it, I hope by the end of this message, you'll understand that the biggest threat to us growing spiritually has to do with our pride. This is why the Bible says in Proverbs that ancient book of tweets, that pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The Bible teaches us that pride ends in humiliation while humility brings honor. Now, I'm from New York, but
Yes, I have one person from New York that's proud to be there. Everybody else is like, no, I don't want to be from there. Like to visit, but not from there. All right. Here's that somebody said exactly right. Affirming here. This is great. I'm feeling unwelcome. So anyways, I'm from New York, but my parents are from Jamaica. My mom is from Kingston, Jamaica, the city part, and my dad is from St. Mary, the country part. So when I came to faith, actually, it was at a Jamaican church, like fully Jamaican church. And they had something back in the days that we have totally eradicated from church, which is a good thing, and it was called testimony service. Testimony service. People would come back to church at 6:30 p.m. just to prepare and share their testimony, which is sometimes the most ridiculous things you've ever heard in your entire life, to the whole church. So we're about to have testimony service again at Life Point Church. Let's go, everybody. Let me tell you about a testimony that really was profound back in the days. And when you get up to testify at church, the audience has to be back and forth with you. So you're going to help me give this testimony a lady gave many years ago. So in our Jamaican church, somebody would stand up and they'd say, "Praise the Lord." And if you did what you just did, like if y'all didn't praise the Lord, oh man, it'd be on. So I'm going to do it again. And those that are of the location, when I say praise the Lord, you got to praise the Lord. Okay, people, praise the Lord. All right, so go, "Praise the Lord, saints. Let's praise him again like he's worthy." And she stood up, she said, "You know, saints, life is like a boat. And if you're on the sea of life, it can get stormy sometimes." And she said, "Saints, sometimes you can get a hole in the bottom of your boat and you will sink. But tonight, I am so glad that I do not have a hole in my bottom." Powerful testimony to the Lord. Well, what we're about to read is a testimony of an ancient king as we've been in this book, this wonderful book called Daniel, over the last couple of weeks. And what we'll hear is testimony service, but in a different fashion. We've been in the series as we've been watching the lives of Daniel and some of his friends that have made a large impact on a very ungodly culture. And we hear about this king that plays a central role in the story. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. He's infamous. He is an influential leader in history. Babylon, of course, is the modern area of the world that we now call Iraq. But he is a man full of pride. He is a tyrant, really. And at the time of the text, he has an unchecked and unbridled ego. He built this statue of himself, and anybody that didn't worship it, he just went off of his rocker, wanted to kill people. In fact, he lunged some of God's people into a fiery furnace that we'll learn about later in our teaching series. But in the time of the text that we're going to read today, it's about 25 to 30 years after this furnace incident. And now everybody has to perk up their ears because Nebuchadnezzar is about to testify. Over the years, his ego has not changed. It's been unchecked. He is a person that nobody can talk to. In fact, we learn that he is at his house one day and he says that he's been flourishing in his palace. And he has this dream that shook him to the core because he's a proud person. He has a large and false sense of security. And he says, "While I was laying in my bed, I dreamed and saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. And this tree had grew very strong. It was abundant with fruits and leaves." And he says that while he was there dreaming, he saw that this messenger came and cut down the tree and lopped off all of its branches. And it shook the tree at its core. Now, in the ancient world, trees were symbolic of kingdoms. And Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know that the meaning of his dream is actually about him. And so he summons Daniel, who has a reputation of interpreting dreams, and he says, "I need to know what's going on in this dream." Now, mind you, Nebuchadnezzar is a person that has already seen the power of God operating in a very, very interesting way. But the thing about Nebuchadnezzar is that although he has seen and has been convinced that there is a God, it's not enough because of his pride to convert him to that God. Just like many people in this room and joining us in our other location, you've seen God move in your life in convincing ways. The problem is your pride is standing in the way for you to be converted fully to the God that you've seen work. God is trying to convince somebody for one reason, for the conversion of your heart. And so he seeks Daniel out, and Daniel gets to the interpretation and tells him the tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves and was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade and birds nested in its branches. Now hear this, that tree, your majesty, is you. This is bold. He says, for you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to the heaven and your rule to the ends of the earth. What usually fuels our pride is our growth and our own sense of greatness. That when we get better at our jobs, when we get better at a particular sport, when we get better or when we accumulate more, it seems as though pride starts to get into our heart. Whether that's growing in our assets, whether that's growing in our portfolios, whether that's growing your business with more customers, whatever grows can grow our heads to the size of good old Billy Bonds back in the days. And he says, this is what your dream means. Your majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my Lord King. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 years of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. Now follow me, everybody. He says something extremely practical that all of us, regardless of where we land spiritually, regardless of what you believe about the Bible today, he says something that's so practical that we've got to get a hold of. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. I love the Message translation of this scripture written by a guy named Eugene Patterson that translated the scriptures into a more contemporary flow. He says, so King, take my advice, make a clean break with your sins and start living for others. Quit your wicked life and look after the needs of the down and out. Then you will continue to have a good life. Now, reading this story so far, we've uncovered the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. And most of us in this story want to point our fingers and we want to look at him and say, well, that's bad because this guy is getting extremely puffed up, as we'll see in the text. But the truth of the matter is we cannot look at this story and make Nebuchadnezzar the villain. And I'll tell you why. When we point to him and make him the villain, all it does is point out our own vanity. Because the truth of the matter is, you and I struggle with being puffed up every single day. Right now, as I'm preaching, we're struggling with our pride. Oh, yeah, we are. There's so many of us that came in here with a level of pride that if it's unchecked, it will destroy us spiritually. So how do you break this down before we get to the rest of the text? First of all, let's get really practical like Daniel did here. We need to make a clean break with our sins. Thank you, sis. Today, regardless of where we land spiritually, we need to make a break with our sins. What that means is we need to repent. Another word for the changing of our mind that will help us change our direction from going a way that God does not want us to go. It is a break in our trajectory towards doing exactly what we want to make ourselves feel better, look better, and to present ourselves better to a world. All we're trying to do is present a glittering image that's not true many times. How do you do that? You start living for others. Because, ladies and gentlemen, and in this house, most of us are living for ourselves. Glory. And if we're honest, we're living too much for chasing whatever's next or whatever we think is going to fulfill us. And we have got pride. What is stopping us? Some of us are too proud to wear a volunteer t-shirt at times. Some of us are too proud. Oh, wait. Like, is that cotton or is it polyester blend? I don't know if I can wear that. What's stopping us? A we over me mentality. Instead, we have a me over we mentality most of the time. What's stopping us from seeing God move in our life? We have to stop sinning or stop doing things that distract our attention from God and start practicing righteousness, which means that we have to look after the needs of other people. The second way we do that is, again, to look after the needs of the down and out. It's one of the reasons why I love Life Point Church and the way that you have dream teams that are specifically geared towards serving others, like the skilled labor dream team that's serving so many people, making a difference in their lives. Look, this is how we know that he had pride. When we read in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel had interpreted a different dream of his and he got promoted. But during this time, when he interprets his dream, he doesn't get a promotion. Have you ever had pride and your wife or your husband told you something and you knew it was right, but because you had pride, you made them feel like it was wrong? Hello, somebody? Don't look at your spouse now, because he got quiet there a second ago, because so many of us have done that. 12 months later, we learn that he is taking a walk on a flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. How long after this dream has been interpreted, when Daniel tells him, you got to stop sinning, break away from the past, serve others? 12 months, one entire year before he checks his pride. Just like so many of us, God has convicted you in a service. God has spoken to you through a teaching series from Pastor Mike. And yet here we are, perhaps 1 year, 6 months after, and we still haven't responded to God because of our pride. Because of our pride. He looks out across the city and he said, look at the great city of Babylon. By my own power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. Biggest words that are a problem in there is I and my. And when you start speaking in that way, you know that there's a problem. Babylon was one of the most famed cities, one of the seven wonders of the world. And here he is thinking that I made all of this. And while the words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. Are you seeing what I see here in the text? God is always going to ask us a question on a day-to-day basis. It's either your kingdom comes or my kingdom comes. And if I were you, I would choose the latter, because when God's kingdom comes, there's peace and there's joy and there's happiness and there's fulfillment and there's wholeness. But our kingdoms pass away. We all have a level of pride. Pastors do. Is this not my church that I built? Is this not all the baptisms that I helped make happen? Is this not the church that we can do it with our instrument? Are these not all of my followers that want to see my tuna sandwich that I just posted about? God tries to let us know that we are not the ruler of our own personal kingdom. Where do we find pride? We find it most of all in our achievements, thinking that we're self-made. None of us are self-made, honey. God made us for a purpose, to reflect his image and to reflect his glory in our day-to-day interactions with a world that is onlooking. We get pride in our power. Everyone feared him. And the way you need to know whether or not you have pride in your life right now is, who can rebuke you without you getting upset? Is there anybody that can call you out? Is there anybody that can challenge your opinion? Do you get in your feelings when your coworkers let you know that you are not the best thing since sliced bread? Are you the person? Can some of us admit to our kids that we're wrong? Two words will help most of us grow spiritually and transform your life today. Two words, and that's you walking out of here and finding somebody to say, I'm sorry. He had pride in his authority, his positional authority. And that same hour, the judgment was fulfilled. And Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. This is a professionally diagnosed situation. Just like God had told him he would go insane, there is a form of insanity where people actually think that they're animals. It's called zoanthropy, where we get that word zoo, right? Like where a person is acting like an animal. This guy was acting like an animal. Some of the women in this house and at our other location are like, you have just diagnosed my husband. I knew you had zoanthropy. Like, but he literally loses his mind. Because that's what pride does. It takes us out of a sound mind that the Bible says God gives us and puts us into a context where we're so self-absorbed. And for a long period of time, he had to deal with that. Ladies and gentlemen, in this house and joining us at our location, can I ask you today, where are you at with your pride meter? Take a deep look inside. You may not be walking around your house in Clarksville and saying, look at this great condo I built, but maybe there's something in you that wants to make other people feel like you're something more than what you are. And that pride can eat away at all of us. But the beautiful thing, and this is where I need you to help me preach now. The beautiful thing is, we learn in the text that after this time had passed, he's testifying, this is testimony service. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. I looked up to heaven. And that's where I'm trying to get your eyes today. To stop looking at the things that are around you. To stop looking at the competition of what the culture is telling you. To stop scrolling past your Facebook post feeling like you're insignificant, like you didn't get invited to the party and you don't have enough stuff and you don't look good enough. And no. You've got to look up to heaven if you're ever going to get your sanity returned. Because everything about this culture is intended to make us not sane, but to become insanely pursuing things that don't fulfill us. But here's what I love. When he looked up to heaven, now. When he looked up to heaven, something happened that needs to happen in every one of us in this room. I want to let you know the scripture says when he looked up to heaven, he praised and he worshiped the Most High. Hey, somebody, I want to ask you, when's the last time you praised God with everything that you had inside? When was the last time you gave God everything? Maybe the reason why you didn't praise with everything in the worship set was because you're proud. But I wish I had about 4 or 5 people in this room and the one joining us today that weren't too proud to stand up on your feet and say, God, I praise you. God, I worship you. God, I lift you up. God, I magnify you. God, I give you praise. I'm not ashamed. I don't care who's standing next to me. I don't care who's in front of me. I don't care what my background is. I may be from the frozen chosen. I may be Presbyterian. I may used to be Catholic. But today, I feel Pentecostal. I'm going to pray. When you look to heaven, when you look to heaven, something shifts. And that's the third application. You've got to shift your view toward God. Here's what most of us need to do in this room. Confess. Confess that we have pride, that Nebuchadnezzar lives in us more than Daniel does. That we are walking around in our communities, building our own kingdoms, and God is trying to establish his kingdom. Now notice, God was not trying to destroy Nebuchadnezzar. He was trying to destroy Nebuchadnezzar's pride. And God's not trying to destroy you. He said, when my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as head of my kingdom, even with greater honor than before. In other words, in that dream, when the tree was chopped down, there was a stump that was left. Because God always intends to restore us back to who we are and what we are. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, this heathen king, I praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true. And
He is able to humble the proud. One theologian said it this way, that pride is a form of plagiarism. And when you ever struggle with worship and with worshiping God, it's because you've been worshiping yourself. So pride says, I've got so much problems. I've got so much stuff. I got this, that, and I can't, because it's a form of pride. It's internal. It's looking at you. And when you get comfortable in building your own palace, God gets really comfortable sending you to a really nice pasture. Why is Daniel 4 so important? Think about this. We just read the testimony of a heathen king. Nobody testifies about how stupid they looked. We testify about things that make us look better. But God humbled him. And I can tell you today that I'm a person that had to get humbled. I love preaching at this church. Thousands of people gather here on the weekend. About 10 years ago, I was preaching at the largest arena in Nashville. I was the keynote speaker on the Friday night that people from all over came to hear me preach, man. 18,000 people in that auditorium. I brought a little picture of it that night, and it was the profound highlight of my ministry career up until that point. I had did everything to get to that moment. I laughed at jokes that I shouldn't have laughed at just because I wanted to know the right person. I spent crazy money on my credit cards to have the right outfit because you know you gotta come with the right drip, you know? Moved in political circles, trying to make sure that I could get to this moment where I could share the gospel to all these people. My wife and I stood on that stage. It was the night that I declared that I was gonna go launch a church. I think we have a photo of that. And right after that moment, everything started to fall apart. It felt like my pride was being broken. My daughter got sick, and we were headed to go start a church in New York. And I had no healthcare benefits. I was living in the home of a friend because we were trying to sell our house. And all of the highlight of getting to that moment where your pride, everybody's coming to hear me preach, 18,000 people, God broke that down. And all of us get to a dark moment in our lives, you know, where God has to do something. I love these glow sticks, because it's symbolic of what God tries to do with our pride. Inside of this one little tube is a chemical that you can't even see the cylinder that's in it because it can't be activated until something happens. In this tube right now is potential, hopes, dreams, great things. But in this tube is also something you can't see, that if they don't interact with each other, these two chemicals, the fullest potential will never, ever be opened up. I want to say to us that many of us are in this room today and you've got so much good and so much potential and so much stuff in you, but the only way it's going to ever get out is like what God had to do with me. Make me lose my job, disconnected me with a lot of people, and you get broken. And I want to say to somebody today, your life will never become radiant until something is ruptured. That you will never get brighter unless God breaks something in you. Don't you despise what you're going through right now. God is trying to make you shine again. And if you're in this house, the breaking is a blessing. In this house today, what you're going through is trying to make you shine. So all across this room right now, and those joining us, if you're already a believer, you know some things in you have to be broken. Thrust your hand up in the air right now if you know God has to break something in you. Yeah, I want to thank you so much. Let me pray for you right now. If you're here, come on, in our other location, if you want to shine more, and you know that there's a little bit of pride. You know that there's, thank you, man.
You know that there's something you've been struggling with. This is your moment. God is intending to make you shine. We asked the question during the bumper roll, how can we be a light in the darkness? I felt the Spirit just lay on my heart. I wrote it in my notes. It says, I need a church that's broken. Because a church that's broken becomes more radiant. Let me pray for everybody in this room right now. God, in the name of Jesus, like those young men that decided to push away from the culture and the plate of Nebuchadnezzar, God, you allowed them to shine 10 times more than their contemporaries. Right now, God, I'm praying in Clarksville that we'll shine more than ever before, because some people will say, I am breaking myself open, God, for you to see me. You say in your word, a broken and a contrite heart, you're not going to despise. So for every person in this room that's saying, God, do a work in my heart, do a work in my life, break this pride, take away my weakness, take away my stubborn habit, take away my hang up, take away my addiction. God, right now, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will move in our lives. Come on, everybody, say amen if you receive that. Come on. Now, while no one's looking around, every head bowed, no one looking around, every Sunday we want to make an opportunity for people to start a relationship with God. And if you're here and you've never started a relationship with God, maybe the thing that's been holding you back from that is your pride. You said, I don't know what it's going to look like for me to surrender my life to God. That's already your pride, because it's not your life. It's the one that he gave you. So why don't you become a returner today by saying, God, I'm returning my life to you. Stop trying to work out all of the steps of what you can't do and where you can't go. Let me tell you, God is calling you to a relationship. So if you've never prayed a prayer before, you can make your prayer mildly audible by a whisper. But what's more important is that you confess in your heart and you believe that Jesus Christ died and was raised again so that you can be saved. So maybe you can use my words this way. You can say, Father, I come to you. I am sorry for the things that I've done, things that the Bible calls sin. Today, I got a change of mind, and I'm giving my life to you. In exchange, I receive your Holy Spirit. I thank you for salvation, and I am going to walk with you. I praise you, Jesus, and I thank you for dying and being raised from the grave for me. In Jesus' name. Now, while no one's looking around at both of our locations, at no time, no one looking around, if you just started a relationship with God, if you just prayed a prayer that says, God, come into my heart for the first time, I want you to thrust your hand above your head and kill your pride by raising your hand right now. Look at that. Already two people. Look at that in the back. Look at how many people are beginning to raise their hand saying, I receive Christ. Come on, everybody. If that's you, if you put your hand up right now, yes. All right, come on, my friend. Let's celebrate the people that made that decision. Ashley's coming.